Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back with you this morning. There's a story about three men who were very good friends, and the three friends were discussing death, and one asked the group, "What would you hope people would say about you at your funeral?" The first man said, "Well, I hope they would say that he was a great humanitarian who cared about his community." The second one said, "Oh, I would really like for them to say he was a great husband and a father who was an example to many to follow." And the third one said, thought a minute, and he said, "I hope they would say, look, he's moving." You might say our third friend had a bit of apprehension about the unknown, maybe a bit unsure of the afterlife. If I wasn't sure where I might be going, I would probably feel the same way. Whereas the parable that you heard last week might be the hardest to interpret, the words that we hear from Jesus in today's gospel might be one of the hardest for many to accept. It's hard because we generally want to be positive and uplifting. I like to be that way. I like to be positive and uplifting. The scriptures bring out so many wonderful words of hope and encouragement to us. We do have a loving God who created us and wants us to be in this great relationship with him and that we talk about so much. We need to know that and pursue that relationship in our daily walk. But scripture also gives us strong warnings at times, not to scare us or to frighten us into submission, but to be truthful with us because God does love us. It's no different than any of us giving our children warnings about life in general to keep them safe. My mother was an ER nurse, as I've told you on occasion, and we got all the horror stories of drunk driving and drug use at breakfast every morning when she came home from work. I pretty much stayed away from much of that aspect of growing up, even before I accepted Christ into my life. Not all of it, but most of it. My point is this: our parental instinct is to protect our children, even in adulthood, if we are able. Think how much more God loves us. He wants us to live a life that paves a safe way on this earthly journey, that ends with us being with him for eternity. However, many think that just because God is love, and he is, that all we have to do is be good, whatever good is in one's own mind, and we will be all in heaven together. That would be great. But that is not the way it is, and I would be remiss in my duties as a pastor if I didn't bring you the whole gospel. The words in our gospel reading today are Jesus' words. They are not mine or anyone else's. But for those who know him, those who receive him, they are also reassuring words. Some theologians agree that this is not even a parable, but was an actual event known only by Jesus, because he is God after all. If it is a parable, it would be the first time that Jesus actually puts a name to the characters in the parable. But whether it's a real or a parable, it doesn't matter. Take away from the message that Jesus is trying to relay to us. The implications are still true. Jesus has spoken to crowds about several parables, several about money as an example. Last week, you heard the dialogue between Jesus and his disciples as he spoke about a manager who mishandled the money that he was given in charge of. The point being a good steward of our time. Jesus now continues his dialogue with his disciples, and he talks about a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus, not to be confused with Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead. For all we know, this rich man may have been a prominent man in the community. He could have done a lot of things for the good of the community, except one thing he did not do, one thing he did not have. He did not put God first in his life. He was a poor steward of his life and what was given to him by God. He didn't say, "Father, I thank you for the blessing so much. Now do what you, what do I do with this blessing that you have given me?" He didn't look at God at all. Even if he did a lot of good things, he left God out of the equation. How do we know that? Look where he landed. It's similar to our reading from Amos. The warning from Amos was that those who were referring to were going through all the motions, but they lost sight of the relationship with God. Where did they get them? In exile. Going back to our rich man, he was falling right in line with what Paul warns about in his first letter to Timothy. "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of it." You see, this man worshipped his wealth. Without his wealth, he would have nothing and put nothing else above it. All of his friendships, all of his titles, all of his prestige and honor were tied to his wealth. When he died, he could take none of that with him. This rich man knows another man named Lazarus. He knows him because Lazarus has been sitting at the rich man's front gate, only desiring to be fed the scraps that fell from the man's table. He didn't even take time to minister to him, to talk to him, to pray with him, or help mend his wounds. The beggar, we're told, that the dogs came and licked the sores. You couldn't get much lower than he was. But he obviously had one thing that no one could take from him, something this particular rich man did not have. He had a relationship with the Father. Judging by the outcome, he has obviously put God first in his life. Because when he died, we are told that he found himself in the arms of Abraham in paradise. The rich man, on the other hand, found himself in Hades. Now, I want to be clear, this is not the judgment yet. This comes later and will still come later. But it was hot and tormenting, and the rich man could look up and he could see Lazarus, but there was this great chasm between the two. Only now is there a sudden urgency and need. Only now, when death has come and has taken its course, his course for eternity is now set, does he call out for help? Only then. Now he has concern for his family. Now he cries out for water. "Or at least send Lazarus back to my family and tell them." Where was his concern before? Where was the urgency when he was only concerned about his wealth and the status of life? Abraham calls out, If they didn't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convicted and listen to someone who is raised from the dead. You see, God has been calling on his people throughout the ages. He has been trying to get their attention through the prophets. If the people would not listen to them, then why would they believe a man raised from the dead? And the irony is here that a man outside of Jesus, a man named Lazarus, would indeed be raised from the dead in not too distant future. And as amazing as that was, a lot of people who became convinced that Jesus is who he says he is, some actually tried to kill Lazarus again. Jesus was absolutely right. If you won't listen to what God has already given you, if you go out and trash the scripture and living word and it comes as it has come to us, what difference does it make if one is raised from the dead? You see, the purpose of this gospel lesson is not to scare people, but to show you a better way. And it asks the question, where do you put your faith? What kind of steward are we of our own lives? What is most important to us? You see, there is only one of two places that we end up when we die. But when we die, that's it. There is one sure statistic. One out of every one person will die someday. Kind of reminds me of a story my dad and I had when I was between 6 and 10 years old. And again, my mother was at work at night, and I came down with the croup. That happened to me a few times when I was younger. And He called my mom, and my mom told him what to do. He took me into the bathroom, hung me over the seat, turned on the hot water, put a towel over my head so I could breathe the steam to loosen up the croup. And I was scared, and I said, "Dad, am I going to die?" He says, "Someday, son." But he's right. In the history of man, there have been only two recorded cases in Enoch and Elijah that did not die, but were taken directly into heaven. But the point is this: God wants us to spend eternity with him, and that is the deepest desire of his heart. But it is up to each of us, and it's a decision that each of us makes as an individual. He wants us on our own free will. Just being a good person on our own eyes, in our eyes of society, isn't going to cut it. Nothing wrong with being good, but you can't earn or buy your way into heaven. It's a free gift of grace through Jesus Christ. And Jesus spelled it out as clearly as he could when he said these words: "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one," and that means no one, "comes to the Father but through me. And if anyone tries to lead someone else down a different road than that, you'll be held accountable for that." If I were to stand up here and tell you that there are many ways to the Father, I would be held responsible for that. That's why I take this so seriously. This is important. It's not to be taken lightly, because there is a lot of false and misleading teaching out there. You may have heard names like Marcus Borg or John Crossan associated with a group called the Jesus Seminar. And it's not that they are bad people, they just have bad theology. They may be great people in general terms, but what they do is pick out only scripture they think is relevant in life. They go back and pick out parts of the gospel that only makes people feel good. They decide among themselves whether Jesus actually even said something or didn't say something, when in reality, Jesus has so much for us. He desires for us to grow in him. Let me ask you this question: what in life really excites you outside of your faith? I mean, what could you sit down and just talk about for hours? We need that kind of zeal for the Lord. Do you realize how exciting it is to live a life that's controlled by the Holy Spirit and putting your faith into action? Next week, you're going to hear about some things that happened on our trip to Houston on that subject of faith. So stay tuned. But to answer the question, we don't have to go looking for opportunities. God brings them to us if we are willing to be open to them. And what are we to do? We are to listen to the gospel. Listen to what is being said. Listen to what Paul says: "But as for you, O man of God," that's us people, "flee these things," speaking of idols and that we make for ourselves, "pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness, fight the good fight of the faith." And listen to this: "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." In other words, when you have received Christ into your life, you have eternal life. That is what Jesus is calling us to do here. This example Jesus is giving is not about just doing good deeds. This example is not about rich people going to hell and poor people going to heaven. Salvation is for all who call on the name of Christ. It is a call to receive Jesus into our lives. It is a call to be a good steward in all that we do in that, and all that we have in our walk with Christ. It is a call to open our eyes around us and to reach out to all who are lost and need the Lord in their lives. It is also a warning not to take this life for granted. We need to submit to the will of the Father through Jesus Christ. When we do that, watch what God will do through his Spirit. He will lead you through all kinds of what we call God encounters or God moments. Those are moments when you know that you're, the very Spirit of God is right there with you. And we need to be ready for those God moments, because if we are willing and listening, He will give them to us and guide us through it. And out of that comes our reaching out to others in whatever way we are directed. And it doesn't mean just throwing money at every situation. We need to be prayerful and wise when we reach out. Sometimes we need to be ready to pray with someone. Sometimes we need to be ready to take part in a ministry. There are a lot of people who are both rich and poor and everywhere in between who need the touch of cool water and the reassuring promise that God is there for them if they would receive Him. They are searching for a path that leads to heaven, not later, but right now. It is really nice to be excited about the things of life that you like to do and take part in it and experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. But life is for an eternity. Our life that we know now is only for a season. But how we live this life, the witness we are in this life, can make even a greater difference, not only for us, but for those whom we touch and through those who God, those God moments that He gives us all the time if we're ready. May we always be ready. May we all be good stewards of the life God has given us to do His bidding and to walk in faith believing. And that is the topic of next week's sermon. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for all that You desire for us. We thank You that You came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, and that we can receive You into our lives and walk mightily in that by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. We look for those moments when You want to use us, Lord. Don't let us be blind to those moments, Lord, when You want us to reach out to others, to pray for others, to be used by You, Lord, for this world. You didn't bring us to Yourself just to be sitting idly by, Lord. You brought us to Yourself to be used by You. And we thank You, Father. And we give You the honor and the glory for all that You are doing and will continue to do through each person sitting in this room and each person listening to this over the internet. We thank You, Father, for the church that You have brought together, the body of Christ. Please, Lord, don't let us lose sight of what we should be doing in our life around us. And we thank You, Father. Strengthen us by Your Spirit. Use us, we pray. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.